Hey y'all, we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, continuing where we've been, starting in verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So remember, right before this, Jesus was in the synagogue, and everyone was impressed with his authoritative teaching and his authority over unclean spirits. And now, as is characteristic of Mark, Jesus does something else immediately. So he immediately goes to Peter's house. And I think at least part of what Mark wants to tell us is that Jesus wants to teach us, if you will, in church and in home. In other words, he's not just interested in churchy things, but he wants to enter into the most intimate parts of our lives and teach us there. So he goes right to the house of Peter, which, as it happens, is right across the street from the synagogue that is there in Capernaum. So this immediacy, this sense of Jesus entering right into the immediate circle, the intimate circle of Peter's life. And then the disciples do what all disciples should do if we were thinking about it. Whenever there's a concern or a need, we should tell it to Jesus. The disciples simply apparently say, "Hey, yeah, Jesus, Peter's mother-in-law's really sick." That's not always our first instinct, but that should be our first instinct, always to mention to Jesus a need, a concern, something that's going on in our lives. And then, of course, Jesus comes, and I love Jesus' healings because they don't draw attention to themselves. He's not interested in showing off. He's not interested in impressing them with spectacle. He simply blesses, and he simply lifts her up, and she's better. And Mark wants us to notice this, because what is her response to her healing? It says she got up and she was serving them. And this is not an incidental remark. Later, Jesus will tell his disciples later in the Gospel of Mark that the greatest among you are your servants. And so here we have this unnamed mother-in-law of Peter, and right from the beginning, Mark is holding her up as one of the great ones in the Gospel of Mark. We don't even get her name, but we get her greatness, because what does she do with Jesus' blessing in her life? She serves. And I think Mark wants us to see that. And then night sets in, and the house where they were is sort of surrounded. It reminds me of that scene in Genesis where all of the men of Sodom surround the house where the angels have gone to speak with Lot. At any rate, this is opposite that, because all these people come, and what does it say that Jesus does? Really characteristically, two things. He sends demons out of people. He takes authority over these forces that want to destroy people. And again, I want to underline how we need to understand that evil doesn't just come from humans, but it comes from spiritual beings who want to harm God's creatures and dishonor God. Well, Jesus takes authority over them. And notice, this is very important. He won't let them talk. Remember in Genesis, part of the problem was that Eve had a conversation with the serpent. She reasoned with the serpent. She kept talking to him. Jesus won't allow these unclean spirits to speak. So Jesus is ministering. He's having, if you will, great success. And what is the next thing that Mark emphasizes? Well, it says that while everyone else was still sleeping, Jesus got up, found a remote place where there wasn't other people, and was spending time in prayer. And the idea, I think, is that he was spending time in prayer such that when the disciples got up, they were like, where's Jesus? And they had to go looking for him. So I think we're to imagine a long time in prayer. And what's significant about this is that Jesus, on the coattails of success, if you will, healing lots of people, casting out lots of demons, he doesn't rest on his laurels, but he spends time with his Father, figuring out what he ought to do and drawing his strength from the Father. This is going to be one of the main emphases Mark wants to give us. If we want to have strength to minister, we need to spend time alone with God, solitude with God. And notice, this is very shortly after Jesus just spent 40 days in the wilderness. So it's clear that even still, Jesus needs that time of solitude and being alone with God in order to draw strength from him to do what he's called to do. So then the disciples come and they're like, hey, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. One person put it this way, how can you be spending all this time alone by yourself when there's all these needs out there? Well, Jesus, I think, knows that circumstances will create a tyranny. People's needs will create a tyranny. And he needs to, one, draw power from God, and two, have wisdom about how to carry out his business. So he doesn't give in to the temptation to stay important, if you will, to continue to claim this place of importance in people's lives, but he moves on to the next stage. And so he says, well, guys, sorry, but I'm not staying in Capernaum. We're going to go around Galilee and go to all these little villages and the synagogues in those villages and proclaim the same thing we've been doing here. Notice that it began by saying word of Jesus went out through all of Galilee. Now Jesus follows the word that has gone out ahead of him and begins ministering. And lastly, Mark characterizes what Jesus is doing as two things. One, preaching or teaching, and two, getting rid of these evil spirits that want to destroy human flourishing. So those are the two emphases that Mark wants to give us about Jesus' ministry throughout Galilee. So may we learn from Jesus that true greatness lies in being a servant of all, not in making a name for ourselves, not in seeming to be important. And may we increasingly learn to draw our strength and our power for serving from time alone with God through Jesus. Amen.